You know, when we talk about God, if the name God is mentioned, whether somebody is following God or not, you pretty much have at least a simple, basic understanding of God. I mean, this, the creator of the universe, this all-powerful being. If you mention Jesus, you know, it's kind of the same way. Follow him or not. It's just like people recognize and have this at least, you know, Jesus 101 thought and mentality of really who he is. But if you mention the other guy, the Holy Spirit, it's just like sometimes people go, who's that? And it's just we miss this whole identity and purpose of this person that God has sent to us. And it's awful. I was doing some research on this series, and this is just astounding to me. And I found this research that was done a couple of years ago by the Barna Group. They do all kinds of stuff with all, you know, and I've shared some different things that they've done before. But this one was just, it amazed me. There was 1,871 proclaimed Christians that were a part of this particular research. And it had to do with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Satan. And we'll leave Satan out the door because that's where he belongs. But I do want to focus on this. 78% of that number of those Christians said they believe that God is all-powerful and the all-knowing creator of the universe who still rules today. And about the same number believe Jesus is truly the Son of God who actually lived, died, and was crucified. By the way, this is disturbing. It's very disturbing. Because that's only 78% of the people believe the foundational purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. And that tells me that there are some messed, and I say this respectfully, but boldly and honestly, there are some messed up Christian views in our world today. Messed up. God will always, 100% of the time, be all-powerful and the all-knowing creator of our universe. And Jesus Christ will 100% of the time always be the Son of God, who lived and died and rose again for every single one of us. But this as we get to this, as far as the Holy Spirit goes, this is amazing. Only 33% of Christians in this research believed the Holy Spirit was a living entity and part of the Trinity of God. Only 33%. 58% of Christians believe the Holy Spirit was a symbol of God's presence, but not a living entity as though God and Jesus were there. The other 9% didn't know what they believed. Only 33% of this to me is absolutely astounding. And this is what makes it even more astounding. The same research, 49% of that 58% that did not believe that the Holy Spirit was a true living being also said that they believed the entire Bible was true and accurate. Talk about contradictions. Talk about messed up ways of thinking based upon God's Word. Now, this is what I know, and don't get me wrong. I know when I pick this book up, there are parts of this book that I struggle to understand sometimes. And I think most of us would say amen to that. We read something, we read about a certain thing, and it's just like, oh, God, I just don't understand that. What do you mean here? And there's also things in this book that one person might read and get one way of thinking, and another person might read and get another way of thinking. I think we would probably all, we've seen that happen. We agree to that. But listen, the Bible is very clear on who God is, on who Jesus is, and on who the Holy Spirit is. But for some reason, we grasp two of those three, and we leave the other one out for us to just to wonder, well, you know, this is the other guy. And he's not just another guy. And I want us to really look at this, because listen, over and over again, in this book, the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. The Spirit of God is mentioned, you know, in fact, in the second verse of the entire Bible. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and you look at verse 2, it says this: Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right there. Right there. This wasn't some magical, mythical thought that just entered into existence at some particular point in time during our history. The Holy Spirit was right there. This word right here is translated as Spirit in the Old Testament and is the word Ruach. And this very literally means a wind or a breath, a violent exhalation or a blast, just powerful. Those are words of power, which henceforth the power of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, the Greek word that is translated as Spirit is pneuma, and it means a wind or a current of air. By the way, currents are constantly moving. Even when we can't necessarily feel them, a current is constantly, all the time, moving. Okay? Grab a hold of that because that's important. Okay? So in the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would actually descend upon people, and then it would actually leave. You can see in places like when you're looking at Saul's life, in the Old Testament, to where the Spirit of God would descend on Saul, and then you can read where the Spirit of God left him. You can also read like it with David, when David messed up with Bathsheba. David actually prayed, God, don't take your Spirit from me. But in the New Testament, we see something totally different, and we see this shift. Of course, the big shift comes because of Jesus Christ. But in the New Testament, once Jesus left and sent us this Holy Spirit, it was for good. And it was for those who were believers in Christ, and the Holy Spirit never leaves. It is this constant current that continues to move with our life. That's what he is. So this other guy's really cool. We talk about the other guy, you talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stay really basic. In fact, this message is it's the first half of the message that I will pick up next week. So to finish this particular journey and who is the other guy, you'll need to make sure that you're here next week, and it's really important. But to say the least, listen, if this Holy Spirit is so awesome, there are so many people, though, that are living a spiritless life. If we're talking about this Holy Spirit that is right there, that is with us, and you know, we talk about it in the words that describe it, you know, and define him, who he is, this power. But yet Christians today, and actually Christians throughout history, but definitely Christians today are choosing, for whatever reason, not all, but it seems like we just don't tap into this. We don't tap into actually who he was sent to us to be. And God wants us to live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-powered life. Now, I fully understand that many people are weirded out when somebody mentions the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I know that. And the reason I know that is because I used to be that way. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, and in churches, you know, let me just be really honest for just a second, because so many different churches today, you know, teach so many different things when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There are some churches today that never mention his name, ever. Just don't. He's not mentioned. He's not talked about. You know, even if it's read in a scripture reference, they just blast right past it. There are some churches that will mention the name of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, but then treat him like he is just some taboo, or just something that we can't get close to, or something that's just not right. There are some churches that treat him like Casper, the friendly ghost. He does everything good. Everything's perfect. And then there are some churches that will actually put more emphasis on the Holy Spirit than they do Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, and the reason I'm telling you this is because I've been in all four of those churches. No disrespect. That's why I don't use names or places. But I've been in them. And all four of them are wrong.
all four of them. Nothing is above Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ and knowing him, we will not know and begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is. But to not mention him is shorting Christians this awesome, awesome power to do and to live and to go and just be who Christ and God intended for us to be. People make the other guy who they want him to be or not to be. Not who he is designed to be. And this usually happens because people don't know him. They really, truly don't know him. I'm going to go to the scriptures this morning and reading off my phone because it's in a different translation and it's out of the New Living Translation. And it's in John chapter 14. And these are the words of Jesus, red letter words. And in verse 16, it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you." Okay? Remember a while ago when we talk about when I was giving you the Greek definition in the Old Testament, there was nothing about that ruka that meant it would not go away. It was a blast. It was something that, boom! But in the New Testament, that New Testament word spirit, pneuma, is current, and it never goes away. Jesus says this, who will never leave you. In the first part of verse 17, he says, "He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him," or doesn't, you know, one translation, actually several translations says, doesn't know him. Doesn't know him. The world cannot accept him because it doesn't know him. But then if you finish this verse off in verse 17, Jesus says this, "But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Now, this is what this verse tells me right here. He lives with you now and later will be in you. And as we go through this, I'll show you this in another scripture here in just a second, okay? But the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place. I believe the Holy Spirit is wherever you want the Holy Spirit to be, he will be. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, which, like I said, I'll show you here in just a few minutes, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, then the Holy Spirit then also lives in you. Henceforth, what Jesus was speaking. Now, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not an it. I caught myself just a few times here this morning referring to him as it. And I immediately thought, no, he's not. He is not an it. Jesus specifically refers to him in these scriptures with the words he and him. He and him. Start of verse 17 is, "He is the Holy Spirit." He. The world cannot receive him. Okay? He's not an it. Okay? Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he and him. He is the third person of God in the Trinity. You say, well, what is the Trinity? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the way I read my Bible, and the way that I look and see what God's Word is, and how specific, because the Bible talks about God, the Bible talks about Jesus, and the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I believe that these are three, okay, entities in themselves that make up the Trinity of God. Very literally, okay? The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form. Now, this word advocate, I know I'm doing some teaching here, but we have to understand this as we look at who the Holy Spirit is. This word advocate, right here in verse 16, parakletos, it means an intercessor, okay? It means a counselor, a consoler, a comforter, a healer. So who is the Holy Spirit? Very simply, he is the one who intercedes. He is the one who prays for you. He is also your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your advocate before God that is right there with you when you are speaking, when you are praying. He is your comforter. He is your helper. God in spirit form who is always around you and lives inside of you when you accept Christ to be just that, to be your counselor, your intercessor, your helper, very literally to be that friend. And that friend that never leaves, that friend that never forsakes, that friend that never turns his back on you. And then if you go to John 16:7,
Jesus says an amazing thing right here when talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, but it is actually best for you. Now, this is Jesus, the Son of God. He says, it is actually best for you that I go away. Really? I mean, let's think about that. This is Jesus, and he's saying, it is better if I leave. Because if I don't, the Counselor or the Holy Spirit won't come. That must mean, and that tells me, that there is something really, really, really special about the other guy. If Jesus is willing to leave so that he can come, it's got to be cool. It's got to be awesome. He goes on to say, if I do go away, then he will come because I will send him, there's those hymns again, to you. It's actually best for you. So let's review this really quick. The Holy Spirit has been around forever. It was with God during creation. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a him. He is our intercessor, our counselor, our consoler, our advocate, our comforter, and helper. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, he will live in you. He'll live in you. So this other guy sounds pretty awesome. But if he's so awesome, why are so many Christians living a spiritless, L-E-S-S, life? Why do so many Christians choose to miss out on the opportunity to, I mean, come on, we accept Jesus and we know Jesus and we believe in Jesus and Jesus is cool. And listen, I'm not trying to whatever, but it's just like when we accept Jesus and we receive this, the Holy Spirit and he's living inside of us, it's just like, eh, we forget it or we don't try to understand him and therefore we don't know him. And so I want to look at two quick reasons really quick of why people live, why Christians live a spiritless life. And I've already talked about the first one numerous times. Some people aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit. I mean, honestly, some Christians aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit and who he really is. Many people say, I've heard of the Holy Spirit, but I don't really know what he does. I know, you know, that there's the God the Father. I know that there's Jesus. And I've heard of this Holy Spirit, this other guy, but I just don't know who he is. And if you look in Acts chapter 19, in verses 1 and 2, it says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and he asked them. Now, get this, he found some disciples. Okay, he didn't find just some Joe Schmo standing alongside the road that had never heard this message about Jesus before. It said he found some disciples. How do we know this? It says, he asked this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So these are people that believed in Jesus, that Paul's standing along the side of the road, and this is their answer. No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I mean, listen, don't think it doesn't happen. Don't think living right here in the good old Bible Belt, USA. Listen, I've even heard stories of people in our county that had never even heard the name Jesus before. I mean, seriously, and that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to fathom. Well, everybody knows Jesus. Well, yeah, everybody knows Jesus right smack dab here in the capital of the Bible Belt. But maybe not. We just assume that that's the way that it is. And we do the same thing about we assume everybody knows who God is. And we assume everyone knows that there's this Holy Spirit, this other guy. They were missing this fact that there is a whole other world of power that is available to the believers through God, the Holy Spirit. Christians all over the world are going through life without this power and without this victory. All over the place. Without his strength. And then on the other side, there's this spiritual power from God in heaven that is greater than you or I could ever imagine. I mean, it really is. The very same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. I don't know that we really grasp how really powerful and important this is. The same Spirit that conquered the grave. When you know Christ, it lives in you. He is in you. The same thing. And we miss that.
It's just like we take it for granted, and it's just like here. He will fill you, direct you, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, convict you, empower you, and it's all available. But so many people choose to live this spirit-less life because they're unaware of the power and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Number two. Told you I only had two today. I'm going quick. I felt like I needed to give you a good one this week, time-wise, since I absolutely preached about four messages worth last Sunday. As I was creating this message throughout this past week, and I got to this point, and all this stuff was just rolling out of me, and I was finding all these little things, and I just kept going. And when I got to this place, I was like, okay, I got to be about ready. I still got like 3 pages of notes left. I thought, well, I better stop. You know, it'll be another nooner here, you know, if we, you know, 12 o'clock, people, you know, come on. But, you know, I'd say, if God wants us here, he'll keep us here. But number two, okay, reason Christians today are living a spiritless life is because some people, because they are simply choosing to resist the Holy Spirit. They simply choose to resist the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Okay, for many Christians, the Holy Spirit has prompted you, and what I mean by that, has led you to do something, and you simply said, nah. That voice, come on, you know that voice. I don't care. You know it. You've heard it. You've heard it. Why don't you do this? This would be really good. You should do this. And we listen. And, of course, the obvious thing is that God or is that me? Is that God? Anybody ever go through that? Yeah. I mean, really, is that God or is that me? Is that God? Can I give you a really quick... Let me stop right here and jump on something just really quick. Here's a good answer for that. Is it God or is that me? The very first thing, if what is spoken does not line up with this word of God, I promise you it's not him. You hear me? If what you feel is being spoke, if you can't find it in this book, then it's probably not God speaking to you. Now, if it is in this book, and you're still at that place, is this God or is this me? Is this God or is this me? Then you know what? Sometimes you just have to have faith and believe that he is speaking to you. Now, I don't necessarily find this in the Bible anywhere. This comes from me living by faith. But I truly believe this because, honestly, I've done this in my life. If I'm hearing what I think is him, and I search it out and find it to be with the Word of God, and I'm doing everything in my power to discern and to take myself out of it, and if I feel that it is God speaking to me, and I act on that heart, even if I may be just a little bit off, I believe God will bless my efforts. Now, I will still have to follow that path that I may encounter some things or have to deal with some things. If I'm trying to follow God's will, and it is true and sincere, I believe that he sees that. But some people resist that voice, not only to do things, but also not to do things. And I know we've all heard that voice. You shouldn't do that. That's not good for you. You shouldn't do that. And we're like, that'd be okay. I really want to do that. So, other guy, get back over here, and I'm just going to keep going. When we do that, we are resisting the Holy Spirit, okay? Doing something that you shouldn't do. Don't do something that you should do. I mean, you know, but you want to. So we push the Holy Spirit away. Sometimes the Spirit prompts us to do something good for somebody or to give something. And when we don't, we're resisting. We're resisting what he is trying to speak into our life, that he wants to speak into our life. When the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to recognize a specific gift that he has given us, and we'll talk about that later on in this series, and we just push that aside and say, nope, that's not for me. We are resisting the Holy Spirit. And when we resist him, we lose out on this power. We lose out on this designed thing that God sent him for in our life. And when we resist the Holy Spirit for so long, our hearts become hardened to those gentle promptings of this powerful voice. If you look in the book of Acts in chapter 7, Stephen, who was considered the first martyr, he was stoned to death. And this scripture right here is actually just pretty close right before he was stoned. And it's in verse 51. And he's speaking this to the Sanhedrin, who were proclaimed Christians of the day. And he says this, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." Always. And can I tell you, in their life, in the lives of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees of that day, one of the reasons, that's why they were so hard. That's why they couldn't see Jesus for who he was. It's really sad, to be real honest with you. So, you know, two specific ways people live a spiritless life: being unaware of the Holy Spirit, not knowing him, and resisting the Holy Spirit. And remember earlier I said God wants us to live a spirit-filled and a spirit-powered life? God does so much of us that when it was time for his son to leave, he sent the other guy to walk with us and live in us. How awesome is that? That he just didn't leave us hanging. That he just didn't, I mean, really, he could have said, well, you know, do the best that you can. Do the best that you can with this life and walk the best that you can and try to make the best decisions that you can. But we have been given this person who actually, when we accept Jesus, lives inside of us. And yeah, he does speak to us and he tries to guide us and he tries to lead us in the directions that we need to go and to do the things that we need to do and not do the things that we don't need to do and help us understand this book and God's word. And you know, when we read something, you know, and he speaks something to you and how crazy that it might be, and it's just like, well, he loves us that much. Loves us that much. Next week, we're going to pick up right here, like I said, and talk about some things that the Holy Spirit will do for us. But today, right now, I want us to really think about a couple of things. Just a couple. Truly desiring to know who the Holy Spirit is and desiring to follow his lead. Truly desiring to know who the Holy Spirit is and focus on truly desiring to follow his lead, to follow his voice, not just to hear it and resist it and push it aside, not to take this awesome, awesome person and set him aside and give him a title as the other guy, because this other guy is a great guy. He is an important guy. He is a powerful guy, and he is designed and meant to help us become everything that God intended for us to be. To know him, we have to know him. Now think about that simple little statement. To know him, we have to know him. How do you get to know somebody? Communicate, you study them, you watch them, you begin to trust them. It's got to be an intentional thing. And when we know him, we know his power, the power to love, the power to love people that you think today that you cannot love. And there's some of you in here today that have those people in your life. Well, how in the world could I ever love them? The power to listen, to truly listen to this voice in his direction. The power to pray. You know, the Bible actually talks about that when we don't know. That's why I say when people come up here during our time of prayer, if they want to relate to you what their issue is, then that's great. But don't think for a second that they have to tell you and God not know. Because God knows. He knows. Why does he know? Because we have this advocate. We have this intercessor that he has sent on our behalf right down here with us. And when we don't know what to pray, God does. The Holy Spirit, he. The power to understand. The power to understand his word. The power to understand how to apply this word to our life. The power to understand why we need to apply this to our lives. The power to forgive. Boy, this is a big one. The power to forgive. That's That's a tough one. This is one that we'll talk about specifically here in a couple weeks, and it's the power to tell people about Jesus. Why do I keep using this word power? In the book of Acts, and we'll go into this verse just a little bit more as we dive into to this series and really looking at the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 1, chapter 8, Jesus, once again, red letters, he says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and into the ends of the world." Basically, what he's saying is you will receive power to tell people about me in your community, in your state, in your nation, and in this world. And all of these things that I have spoken here, whether it's prayer, whether it's, you know, and there's other things, worship, it could be your word, all of these different things are a part of telling people about Jesus, the power that God wants us to have and to live in. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beginning of this understanding. God, I know that this is simple, but to be really honest with you, Lord, I think sometimes we complex it too much, and the simplicity is really where we begin to learn understanding. Now, I know there's a whole lot more, God, to this story, and I know there's a whole lot more to this guy, to the Holy Spirit. I understand that fully. And I know that we haven't even begun to tap into, God, everything about him. But I know this. I know that you sent him, God, that we would receive this power to be living examples, God, and living lights, and God, be this beacon and this message in our world for Christ. But God, to fully understand this and know this, we have to fully understand and know who he is. And to really begin that journey, God, I believe this, we have to know your son Jesus first. I know it and I believe it. This morning, if you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, this journey, you know, it doesn't start with the Holy Spirit. The journey starts with Jesus. The journey starts with Christ and with understanding who he is. And you know what? You're not going to understand that all today. You're not even going to get close to understanding all that you need to understand about Jesus today. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start the journey somewhere in this whole thing. So if you're here today, and that's not a journey that you have taken yet, not made that decision with Jesus or about Jesus or for Jesus, and being honest, you don't understand it, but I'm telling you, you don't have to understand it all. It's faith, and if that's you today, would you just wave your hand at me and say, yeah, that's me. I got that. Anybody else? I mean, this is the real deal. This isn't just some hand-raising part of a ceremony. It's saying, you know what, I really want to commit my life to him and really begin to know Jesus, because you got to go know Jesus first. Anybody else need to say just, that's me? Well, if that is you today, and you, that is a decision and a commitment that you need to make, it begins with honesty and just begins just very simply by just being real, communicating with God. God, I'm who I am, and I haven't done really good with who I am. God, I need to change that. I want to know you. I want to know this power that you say that is for me. This life that you say is for me. I've made mistakes. I need you to forgive me. God, I need to push forward in this relationship with you. Be my Savior, my best friend. Just be real with him today, and he'll be real with you. And if you make that decision today, and I don't care, you just find somebody and tell them. Find someone and tell them. Hold yourself accountable to the greatest decision you'll ever make. Some of you today, you're going to recognize right now that you're doing life pretty much apart from the Spirit of God. You're a believer in Jesus, you know, and you go to church and you know the spiritual stuff and all of that. And I'm not being critical of that, and I'm not saying that that's not true and that you don't know him. But if you look at your life right now, you're going to say, I just don't see that spiritual power. I just don't see this guy, this other guy in my life like you're talking about. I don't see victory. I don't see all the fruits of the Spirit. I believe this stuff, but I just don't see it. And I would love to begin to understand more of who this other guy is so I can begin to really fully begin living in this Spirit-led life that he has for me. With nobody looking around today, if that is you, and this is, I'm not going to ask you to do nothing, get up or nothing. This is a personal thing, and I just want to know as we pray together. Because you know what today? I stand before you today genuinely wanting and desiring to know more of who he is too. And what he has in my life. And if that's you today, would you just wave at me really quick and say, yeah, that's me. I see, yeah. Anybody else, just say, yeah, that's me. I want to know. I just want to know. And I want all that he has. When you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the same power that conquered the grave Jesus was laid in is available to you and me. But it's up to each one of us to begin to know him for who he is. So today, during this time of response, my prayer is today that you will open your heart to the one who already lives there. And let him begin to speak to you and then listen. Father, today, thank you for your word. God, I'm thankful today for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for his presence, for his power, for his direction, for his conviction. God, we'll talk about that in a few weeks too. And sometimes that's one of the reasons we resist, because we don't like that feeling of being convicted. We don't like that feeling of doing something wrong. But God, it's so vital for our life to become that masterpiece. Sometimes we've got to chisel some things away and turn some corners, God, into some different directions and do some things. So God, I'm thankful for that today. Thankful that you loved us so much that you sent him into our life when your son went back to you. God, I pray that as we, the next few weeks, as we begin to grow and learn more about the Holy Spirit, that he quickly becomes who he is intended to be, that the other guy label quickly wears off. And in our life, he immediately takes his place right alongside God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So today, God, during this time of worship, I pray that it's special. God, I pray we recognize that this power, that it is available for us, to us, to live in us, to go with us everywhere, to be that constant current in our life. Help us to understand. Help us to know, to believe, to accept, God, and to move forward in this life with you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.